From Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA, celebrating the African-American preaching tradition of excellence, here is the founder of soulpreaching.com, Elder Sherman Haywood Cox II.
Hello, I want to welcome you to the program. I'm going to address an issue that's come up a couple of times, in the last few weeks. An individual spoke of the futility of attempting to address the emotions of your people by becoming very emotional. And I think this is an interesting and also a helpful observation, that sometimes we as preachers will attempt to address the whole human being, as I speak of addressing both the heart and the mind, and in doing that we will attempt to just get emotional ourselves, just hooping and hollering as an attempt to address the whole person, well, at least the emotional or the emotive dimension of humanity. This individual emphasized the importance of the Holy Spirit to address the emotions, and I would definitely agree that the Holy Spirit is an important partner in addressing the emotions, but not just the emotions, but also the intellect. The Holy Spirit should guide us and be behind the whole sermon preparation process and help us to address the intellect as well as helping us to address the emotion, the emotive dimension. I do not believe that we work real hard, put together, work diligently to exegete the text to address the intellect and leave the emotion, and say that the emotion is something that we only leave to the Holy Spirit. Likewise, I wouldn't say that you should only address the emotion and leave the intellect to the Holy Spirit. We as preachers are to do our due diligence to address both the emotive and the intellectual dimensions of humanity in our sermon preparation process. However, the commenter definitely is keying in on two points that I definitely wanted to reemphasize. One, the importance of the Holy Spirit to guide all the way through the sermon preparation process, as well as the sermon presentation process, but also the importance of addressing both the intellect and the emotive in our sermon preparation as well as our sermon presentation. Now, the question is how to do this. You don't do it, as we said before, by just yelling or getting up there and hooping and hollering or yelling about nothing. There is a place for these celebrative forms, but it should fit into the full sermon preparation and presentation process that has attempted to address the intellectual as well as the emotive dimensions of humanity. Now, a while back, I answered a question from a reader who asked, I welcome any kind of help that will raise the quality of my preaching. When I do preach, I tend not to hoop and holler a lot. If I attempt that style of delivery, I feel like a fraud. However, I do wish to raise the engagement level of my hearers. Any suggestions? Also, any suggestions for different endings to the sermon? I like the questioner here who is saying that I want to raise the engagement level. I want to, another way, if I may rephrase this, I want to address the whole human being, the intellect as well as the emotive, in my preaching. However, when I get up there and use certain forms of presentation, I feel like a fraud. This goes back to one of my when I'm doing a presentation on African American preaching tradition and style. I have two fundamental rules for use of style in preaching. One of them is that your style should be consistent with the sermon that you are presenting, but two, your sermon should be natural to you as a preacher. So this preacher, I am definitely happy, is recognizing that certain forms of celebrative forms are not natural to this particular preacher. However, there is this importance of raising the engagement level, to use the questioner's comments, the questioner's verbiage. I answered, "This is a very good question." There's two parts to this question that we're going to talk about here. One is, do you have to hoop or holler to have a good hearing from the people? But the second part of the question is, how do we increase the engagement level with the people? In answer to this, first, do we have to hoop or holler? The answer to that question is no. I've answered this on a number of occasions. You do not have to hoop. Hooping is, in fact, in some places, hooping is probably not even suggested. There's some places where hooping is not going to be helpful. In fact, in some places, it's going to distract from your message. It's going to pull away from your message. If that be the case, leave hooping aside. You probably listen to very effective preachers who do not hoop. I know I have many preachers who do not hoop. And in fact, some preachers, and it's much less, but some preachers rarely even raise their voice. Some preachers use hooping, if we are honest, and hollering as a crutch. This is what Reverend Martha Simmons, the foremost expert on hooping, has called the dark side of hooping. When you use hooping or hollering to cover up sloth in presentation, cover up not putting together an effective sermon, to cover up the fact that you are not addressing the emotive as well as the intellectual dimensions of humanity in your sermon. It's interesting that sometimes you can use hooping to and get the people emotional without even addressing the emotive dimension of humanity in your sermon. So because you are disconnected from the people, you come in hooping about nothing, and then the people get on board with this hoop that may or may not be related to the intellectual content that you have presented in your, that you hopefully have presented in your sermons. But getting back, some preachers use hooping and hollering as a crutch. When they get into a place where people are not hearing, they simply start hooping or yelling. I've talked about this many times, where a preacher who is dying, gone to Flunkersville or however you want to term it, has started hooping or yelling to try to get the people on board. Sometimes it wakes the people up, sometimes it doesn't, but often it neither supports or promotes the preacher's effectiveness in presenting the content of the sermon that the preacher hopefully diligently worked so hard to put together. So no, you don't have to hoop or holler, but as the questioner noted, you do need to connect to the people. You need to be heard by the people. How do you do this? That leads us to the second part of the question, the questioner's question, which is, how do you increase the engagement of the people with your content. And really, another way of stating this is, how do you foster an experience with the Most High God in your sermonic presentations? In answer, I've sometimes said that preachers need to let their content shout. Let me say that again. Let your content shout. What I'm attempting to get at is that the preacher needs to have content that connects to the people, content that is understandable by the people, and content that is practical and usable. Or as my homiletics professor Brad Braxton used to say, content that is portable. Portable, because you've packaged this content up into a small package that you can take with you when you go about your weekly work, your day-to-day living across the week, so that it can be used at that time. I have sometimes put together sermons, and I almost feel like shouting in the study room when I am just reading the content that is coming or emerging in the sermonic process. Why? The sermonic preparation process. Why? Because the content is doing the shouting. When the content does the shouting, you are more likely to allow your natural enthusiasm, going back to the two fundamental rules, your natural enthusiasm to come through. Let the content do the shouting, and you will take your sermons to the next level. Your content do your shouting. When your content does the shouting, as I'm saying here, you will be much more natural in your enthusiasm around your content. Now, how do you let your content do the shouting? That is a big question, and we definitely are teach a full sermonic construction, preparation, and planning process in our Supercharger Sermon System. You can find out information there on SuperchargerSermons.com. Also, you can find much more information for free at SoulPreaching.com on this particular question. But I'm going to give you a few ideas in this audio right here. Number one, have in mind concrete issues when you are exegeting the scripture and constructing your sermon. Think about practical things, not just theoretical things. When you are going to the scripture, don't think about, quote, someone might have an issue that one is having problems addressing, unquote. Note how that is a generic, nothing specific about it. Someone, not any specific one, might have an issue. The issue is generic again. What is the issue? I don't know. When you go to the scripture with that kind of thought process, you are not going to have, it's going to be much more difficult, let me say it that way, to have issue, to have conclusions or answers that address specific problems, because you didn't come to the scripture with specific problems. Instead, I encourage you to think about someone who has lost a job. What does the scripture say to that one who has lost a job? Maybe another one. Someone has just found out about a spouse that has been unfaithful. Are there concrete issues in the scripture that answers in this particular scripture that answers that particular specific problem? Someone just found out about cancer. Someone just found out that they have a little bit of time to live. Someone has just found out about a child who has gone to jail. Specific problems, specific situations, specific and concrete situations. When you go to the scripture, when you're exegeting the scripture, and when you're constructing your sermon, if you bring with you these specific people, you will find specific and concrete answers that the scripture will give you. And it won't be theoretical about someone who might have a problem. No, it will be concrete, it will be specific, and it will be helpful to those who are going through the specific issues that you are thinking about in your sermon preparation process. Now, what about those who are not addressed specifically? Surprisingly, not always, but surprisingly, you will address many of them as well. When you come with specific issues and you go deep within that specific issue and deal with the specific answer given by the scripture, you are teaching people to use the scripture to address their specific problems, which they can use that particular approach when they are going through their issues, when they're going through their problems. And so it will end up addressing more than that particular individual if that is a fear. But definitely, number one, you want to have in mind concrete issues when you are planning your sermons, when you are exegeting and constructing your sermons, and when you are presenting your sermons. The second way that you can let your content do the shouting is to allow your natural enthusiasm to flow out of the realization or the way that the scripture addresses that particular problem. You may feel like a fraud, as the questioner did, when you force some sort of enthusiasm, but you won't feel like a fraud if you have preached good news and the good news was just so good to you that you simply allowed yourself to experience the good news and you show your congregation that experience. Don't stifle your natural enthusiasm. When you get happy, it will look different from someone else who gets happy. Some folk get happy in some ways, some folk do it in other ways. Some folks hoop, some folks don't hoop. Some folks raise their voice, some folks don't raise their voice. You're going to look different than others who do it, but you will still look different as yourself than you do when you're not happy. So you may not look like somebody else who's getting happy, but you are going to look different than yourself than you do when you're not happy. Well, all I'm saying is to allow the natural enthusiasm to flow from the realization that the scripture is fully addressing the problems that you have concretely come to the scripture seeking answers to. Number three, the third way to let your content shout is to seek to take the people with you in this natural enthusiasm. Go ahead and celebrate the different manifestations of enthusiasm and leave space for your people to come along with you in this natural flowing of appreciation for the good news of the gospel addressing the real concrete issues that you are dealing with in your sermon. Number four, the fourth way to let your content shout is to have a place in your sermon for the content to do some shouting. And most of the time, that means you end your sermon in some sort of celebration, or as I have termed it in other or in addition to a celebration, maybe a celebrative challenge, which is a type of celebration that you can go find other information on soulpreaching.com. I just did a video on that particular issue. I say this more and more, but it is worth repeating. Hold up the truth of the gospel presented in your sermon for an emotive experience. You may not shout or jump or hoop, but if it's good news, you will do something. It is important to find that something. If you do these four things, you will be well on the way to connecting your people with the good news of the gospel, and you will be open to allowing the Spirit to flow, to use your natural gifts to work on the people, and to allow the Spirit to do the work that the Spirit desires to do. I hope this has been helpful to you. If you come to soulpreaching.com, you will find other resources just like this one, including the free ebook that we have just created called The Preacher's Sermon Blueprint. I encourage you to come to soulpreaching.com to download, to sign up for our email list so that you can download that free report, The Preacher's Sermon Blueprint. Till next time, this is Sherman Haywood Cox II. God bless you and keep on preaching.